back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively no longer in Baltimore or Baltimore County. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour has us on the road. We are in Eldersburg. We are at Libertadores. Dante is here. Mike McKelvin is here from 1623 Brewing. I've had stouts. We have lottery tickets. John Maroon's going to be here a little later on having fun with us. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries and Window Nation. I'm going to wear my Window Nation car dealing hat in the next segment. And of course, the Restaurant Association of Maryland. We're going to be up the road in Westminster at Rock Salt Grill on Friday. And back in our homeland, courtesy of the Restaurant Association of Maryland, I'm ending the tour at Costas on Tuesday. Wes Moore is joining us. Pam Wood from the Baltimore Banner is joining us. And Mickey Coachella, who has said that he's not going to work blue, but I think he will before it's all over with. Thank you for having me out,
man.
Dante, I've known Dante for a long, long time. There's a whole Dundalk thing. I could have walked from my house to your house all of our formative years.
Sure.
And you were always like a working, busy guy. You were always a guy who was going to run a place. You had brothers that worked. I know your brothers. I mean, congratulations for what you've built. You built a beautiful life out here, man.
Thank you.
We've
been very, very blessed. Didn't know that we were going to be in the restaurant business in the early years when we started, because we started years after we came to this country. So the restaurant business has been very, very good to us. I've never held a job outside the restaurant business.
I never had a real gig either. This is
And I've been working since I was, I'm not exaggerating, 9 to 10 years old. As my mom and dad both went to work, I would work at Bellagio's scrubbing pots or cleaning mussels at Caesar's Den. I love it. I'm not sure if I ever worked a day in my life. I've been very blessed to say that I made a good living doing something I truly love.
So if we were having a beer right now, and we are,
yes.
And he said, you know, Mike's here. He said, how do you guys know each other? What would you say about when do you remember me? Because I'm trying to remember you because you ran in a different group of people than I did. Mm-hmm. But you and I talked to your brother at length about this. I went in to buy meatballs at Liberatore's in Timonium because mm-hmm. I love your meatballs. I moved to the county back in Amici's is always my go-to downtown because
sure.
I live downtown, right?
Sure.
So, but when I'm in the county, I would go out in Timonium and I went in and he bent my ear and he's somewhere right now and it came and sailing off. I know where he is. But he told me your family story a little bit over 15 minutes waiting for meatballs and I didn't even know it. And I want to learn today because I had no idea really where you lived. Like, I knew you were from Dundalk. I knew you from school. I knew you from groups of people, but I never knew you. And then next thing I know, your name slapped on buildings all over the place serving meatballs.
Yesterday commemorated our 48th year arriving into this country. So I don't know if this is a 5-hour show or six-hour
show. No, we're
show.
Going all day. Like, okay. We're here.
So we can do the marathon.
No, I want to do the whole thing.
But the
from
earlier question,
Argentina, yes?
Well, from my earlier question, Michael and I met at a state penitentiary, and we became very, very close friends.
Which state was that in?
Wait a minute. You talk about how you knew him in Dundalk?
Yes.
His wife, Christine, and I went to high school together.
Isn't that crazy? And then we just came to that conclusion a couple of months ago where we're sitting at a
bar.
Now,
I know
together.
Her because I see her more than I see him. You know how I know her? I only know her because he was Marvin Lewis's next-door neighbor,
there
and
you.
Marvin and I are family.
There
so
you go.
Whenever Marvin and I get together, we talk about you.
Marvin's
and, right? I mean, and so Marvin Lewis has become a member of, he's part of our mafia, man. Like, when Marvin comes back from Cincinnati, there's his wife, usually not him because it's a Saturday night, and he's busy, but the wife comes down. My wife knows his wife better than she knows him because of Marvin. That's the truth.
But the earlier comment, our original landing area was not Dundalk. It was Hollandtown. Hollandtown, so we're talking about 1974, and I won't go long.
No, I want to go long. I need to know this. I need to know this.
We, back then, it still is now, but back then, 70s, 80s, was very much an Italian community. Our Lady of Pompeii, Di Pasquale's.
Even Pete Carinci.
Oh, Pete Carinci's. It was a rock star. And I would name many, many other Italian people. But that's where my grandmother had arrived back in the 50s. So my mom and dad were born and raised in Argentina. I misspoke. I'm born and raised in Italy. And in 1950, they immigrated from Argentina. Once again, from Italy to Argentina. Great story.
I love Argentina, by
so
the way.
When my dad left Italy in 1950, to see if he can make a better life for themselves. Because if you would imagine, Central Italy was decimated through the moving fronts and World War II. Many, many Italians went to Australia, New York, or Buenos Aires. My mother's side of the family decided to go to Baltimore because her grandfather came here in the 1800s and had established the ability to land again. My mother's family came through Ellis Island in 1950, then moved to Baltimore, put themselves through college. My uncle went, served in the U.S. Army, proud Americans.
Highlandtown people.
Highlandtown people all the way. Our Lady of Pompeii, proud of it.
Did you ever go to Epstein's?
Of course, went down. Look how I dress. What's the matter with you?
You were the Shockets?
I had a house that counts as Shockets. I signed my name. I was a big time there.
All right.
Shockets, of course.
G&A Coney Island hot dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Do you remember Mr. Rivera making pizza on Eastern Avenue?
Of course.
God, he made the best pizza in the world.
You got to remember something.
I didn't know any of this.
You got to remember, when something is served, aside from being good, but when the environment is right, if you are served a glass of Malbec, or a glass of Chianti, and you're serving it in Chianti, Italy, and you're sitting alongside an individual who's been in this industry, this castle, for 250 years, Esther, it's the best wine you ever had. And that applies to everything. When the environments are right and you're pushing all the right buttons, like his brewery, like our meal, if you're pushing all the right buttons, all your senses come to life.
I agree with that.
There's no question about it. In any event, when my parents then immigrated from Italy, my dad went to Argentina. He says to my mom, I think we can make a future here. Great. My mother says to her father, I'm going to Argentina with Nicola. And my grandfather says, you're not going anywhere until you're a married woman. Because, but Nicola's in Buenos Aires. We're here in Abruzzo. She goes, that ain't my problem. My father's father stood at the altar, and my mother was married by proxy and left Italy as a married woman with the name untarnished, and then left Italy
to make
as a married woman while her husband was waiting for her in Argentina.
Was this 51?
1951.
51, all right.
That picture up there.
Look at this. I see it, the black and white one.
That is a picture of my mom and dad's wedding when they got married at the courthouse in Argentina.
All right.
Some years later, many years later, to the tune of 40 years later, they renewed the vows in a small little church in Palena, Abruzzo, in Italy.
All right.
That's how that
When did your family leave Argentina? Or you still have family there?
Yesterday commemorated 48 years. So that's 1974.
So really left Argentina for good in 70. You've never been to Argentina?
I was born there. I'm 55.
Okay.
So I was 48, so I was 7 years old. So I'm the youngest of many brothers. So I'm the one who's only have this 7 years.
So you clearly speak Spanish then?
Spanish, Italian, East Baltimore, four languages.
Hollandtown?
Yeah, it's its own.
So how did you wind up in Dundalk? Dante Liberatore's here, by the way, Mike McKelvin, 1623. We're in Eldersburg. It's Maryland Crab Cake Tour, bringing beer, crab cakes, meatballs soon, probably a little soccer background for you. But I knew of you in high school.
The high school years, sir, after we spent the first several years, don't quote me, Nestor, 3-5 years in a small little row home in Hollandtown. So here we are, six of us crashed a party. My grandmother living there. So now seven.
Mid-70s.
Mid-70s, 74. Okay. So probably sometime by the late 70s, we moved to Dundalk, near East Point Mall, Berkshire.
I'm Colgate, he's Berkshire.
And now, at that time, Nestor, while we were still commuting, we used the word commuting, my father would drop my mother off at Haas Tailoring near Archbishop Curley.
Oh, I knew the Haas family.
All the Italians were either seamstress, my mom, so she was a seamstress there.
Your family worked for John Haas's family, that's beautiful.
And then my father would drop me and my brother Johnny off at Our Lady of Pompeii, went to school there, and then we would take the bus back.
23.
Bravo, 23, bravo.
Damn right, I grew up and my parents never drove.
No, 23,
exactly. We took the 23 to the 22 to Memorial Stadium, right?
But then afterwards, then we, of course, you know, my brother Johnny went all the way through high school. It took him a few extra years, but he got through it. So he would take us to school and then talk about hand-me-downs. My brother gave his car, Pino gave his car to John. It was a 1974 Maverick, and then I got it.
So hold on, Johnny scrubbing pots and pans at Sabatino's, too?
No, Sabatino. It was Villeggia's.
Villeggia's?
Villeggia's, beautiful family. Still do business with them to this day. Beautiful family. And then Caesar's Den. I worked many, many years with Nick Vaccaro.
Okay, sure.
John, and John in particular, worked with Mimo when Mimo was part owner of Caesar's Den. And then as time went on, Mimo left Caesar's Den and opened Mimo's, and John went with them. And we've met so many.
And Vaccaro still like Ray Cannoli the whole time.
Of course, of course. And then we opened here in 1988.
So you took the 23 bus to go scrub things and be a kid.
The 23
bus. Be an Italian kid working back in the kitchen.
Well,
right?
The 23 bus is how we got out of Hollandtown back into Dundalk. Straight up Eastern.
I know all about this, yes.
And then when we were working in Little Italy, at that time I was 16, I was driving. We're going with my brother to work. I mean, it's...
So when does the word Liberatore, when does that wind up on the side of a building?
That's a great question. So people say, Dante, what was your first Liberatore's? They'll say. And I say, well, it's a loaded question, because our first location was this location. But it did not trade as a Liberatore's. This opened in 1988.
What was here in 88?
What was here, meaning in this center?
Eldersburg in 88 was really...
Well, no, this center, we opened with the center.
Okay.
But this area still had a full traffic light. There's many more lights. You know what? We've been here 34 years. I can introduce you to some beautiful people here. Been here for
first time
decades
I came
more.
To Eldersburg was in 1988. Remind me to tell you
Let me tell you something. When you tell someone in East Baltimore that you open a place in Eldersburg, you might as well tell them Wichita.
Can I tell you my... This
I mean, people are Dante, what time is it there? Do I need a passport?
There's
do
a we sunset, get, right.
Do we get gas money? All that jazz.
All right, so it involved a girl, okay? So I was at... It's a true story. I've never told this one on the air. Krista's going to kill me if she hears it, but it's okay because I still love her. I was at P.T. Flags. So I was born in 68. When were you born? 66?
Seven.
So you graduated with me, 85, right? We're same graduating class. We have all the same mugs. We're in the same year, but I should have brought the yearbook. That really would have been. Next time, that would put everybody to sleep.
Yearbook is, honey, we got to go. It's getting late, right?
Can you sing the Dundalk High alma mater?
I don't want to.
Do you know it?
Of course I know it.
Let each fellow join our.
I don't want to show
chorus.
Off. It's your show. I don't want to show off.
I'm going to sing it.
Bring it.
I'll sing it.
Go ahead.
So let me just tell you this story, and I will. I'll sing it. I'll sing it to lead to break. All right. Before we leave, remind me. You're a producer, right?
All right. I got you.
Mike McKelvin, former television producer. I'm putting you back to work. And Vince would want it. You know, so Vince would do it. So in 1988, I'm at PT Flags chasing girls. And do the math. I was born in 68. I was not 21. It was the teenage 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock party where you got to run around the bar, drink diet soda or Shirley Temples, right? And you got to meet girls. It was a $5 cover. And you took the number 10 or the 23 downtown.
It was a 10. It was a 10.
Right? So where else would I meet a girl from Eldersburg, other than she probably was listening to B104 Means music, of course, right? So they were advertising. So girls were coming from Eldersburg down to the Inner Harbor on a Sunday afternoon over literal ginger ales. We weren't doing drugs or any alcohol then. We weren't grown-ups, some of us. So she says, I live in Eldersburg. And I'm like, well, I want to take you on a date. You know, I got a car, you know. So I, all the girls I partied with senior week in 1988 were from Liberty High School.
All right.
So, you know, so
right up the road.
So I drove out here in 1988 because I met her in 87 and, you know, dated her 87 and 88, those years. And I drove out here, a good dozen times to take her on dates, take her down to Baltimore, going, you know, whatever, when you're 20 years old and you go on dates. She wanted to go to the Rusty Scupper and see the harbor, and that's what girls in Eldersburg in 1988 wanted to do, right?
Ride the elevator at the Hyatt.
And right, totally, right to the top, right? The Pisces up there, right? The blue
Where's
lights.
The party after having,
right, get
after
a shrimp cocktail.
Literally. We used to have cocktails up there.
Shrimp cocktail, $8. What? You gotta be kidding me. We're from Dundalk, you know? So I was out here in 1988 listening to Bad Company on 98 Rock, driving out here.
And Bravo.
So what brought you? You're a Dundalk guy. Like what?
But you asked the earlier question as far as what was the first location. So this was our first location. But then we opened one about 7 years later. 5 years later, I misspoke. 1993, we opened our Timonium location, which was our second location. But it was our first location to trade under the name of Liberatore's.
What was this called?
Valeggia's.
Oh.
Aspect. Valeggia's Casa di Pasta, where the concept at that time, the Valeggia family was in a growth pattern where they opened a place in Columbia, Belvedere Square, Perry Hall, and they were overwhelmingly markets.
Well, like Di Pasquale's, if you're thinking about that range.
Something like that. Mainly prepared sauces, prepared pastas, and their products are fantastic. But they did not have the restaurant aspect of that concept, that was just their little early location. So if you know Villeggio's downtown, don't forget, directly across the street from Villeggio's, there's Villeggio's Casa di Pasta till this day.
Sure.
It's 70 feet from Vaquero's, same side of the street. When you walk in, you see all the fresh tortellini, the fresh fettuccine, the pastas. It's fantastic. That is the model they were going after. But the model that we chose to do is that plus more. Fast forward, some years later, they start to divest of their locations, and ours, thank God, were thriving. So then we chose to open up our location in Timonium, with, to this day, great success. And then it came to the point of, well, that's going well. Let's take the time to rebrand this. And that took some.
Right.
Right? And we did it. And all following locations from beyond point that point, of course, are traded as our name.
Over three decades,
Liberatore's.
Well, Dante's here. We're in his place. We're in Eldersburg. It's changed a lot. I mean, I mentioned 1988. I remember coming in here, and I told you this when he wasn't listening, having a meeting over here. I used to come in here all the time, and I knew you from growing up. And I've been, this is my 31st year in radio. We've never done business together, but I've known you, your brothers, the Libs Grills, Cosimo. I mean, I went to college with Cosimo, with Dundalk Community College.
Essex. Yes. He went to Essex, too. He went to both. He got kicked out of both.
He was one of my favorite people in Dundalk.
But he's got the most street sense you can ever hope for.
He's Island Town, through and through.
Oh,
right?
My God. Yeah. Absolutely.
How's he doing? I haven't seen him forever.
Oh, my God. I talked to him today. He's a prince.
Well, your nephew Nick opens up in Bel Air.
So
up there,
we just
right?
recently opened Libs Grill? We just recently opened our third Libs Grill. We got to get up there. We got to find him. We'll go golf Bully Rock and we'll go up there.
You got all three logos on your glasses here. Those Libs Grill.
This,
see that right
this
there?
Might be a little bit more legible. I brought this for you.
Oh, look at this. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is more legible with a dark beer.
There you go.
With a stout. You know,
boys,
another reason stouts are better
believe
than lagers. You know? But we're at your place here in Eldersburg, but the family, your brothers, your nephews, I mean, this is a true local, incredible
story.
Yeah,
but
story.
This
really
is a wonderful
is.
Story that we just opened a news location, but without any further ado, our gratitude is to all the support that we've gotten all these years. I mean, some of my dearest friends are friends that I've met through our restaurant. The support, the warmth, the staff, there's a culture here, Nestor. You like to hire people, you like to find people, but they tend to eventually embrace or succumb to a certain culture that we're very proud of.
It says on the wall here, requirements. Must be welcoming, gourmand-like, enjoys live band. Well, that's me. Tolerate Dante. Hold on. Why you put that one last? Dante's constant, petty, annoying... critiquing, which is to me constant improvement. It's canai. It's constant and never ending improvement. You right? You got to have that.
Now,
right?
That's done with. We approach all our business. I mean, take a look what time happy hour is. Did you take a note of the happy hour time, Nestor?
I have not taken a note of the happy hour time here. 3:23 to 6:09 p.m.
Exactly.
Hold on. What time is it? It's 3:17.
Let the games begin.
So I got 6 minutes.
No, 6 minutes is a happy hour.
Well, we know people.
This isn't like Scunny's place where you play Journey at certain hours or anything like
no,
that.
No, we
right?
don't. No, we don't.
Well, we're going to take a break. Before break, I promised a story. What story did I promise, producer?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, we're going back to the girl coming here, aren't we?
No, I told what? That story about. Oh, him. This was about you.
Every time
so
Dante
every time
talks,
I came
my
in
brain
to
goes.
Do business with Dante, I said, man, we went to high school together. You'd say, I'm not a sports bar. What are you? I mean, honestly, because you've changed a lot. And when I came in here, this is, it's gone through a couple of over 30 years, I would say, renovations, upgrades. And I would think COVID's changed his business, my business, everybody's business, right?
It has. After 34 years, of course, we've done expansions, renovations. We're true Italian family restaurants. Some things are just not, will never change, and we're proud of that.
Including the meatballs. Let me get in on these.
But, Nestor, something that I think Michael would agree, you don't want to wait for your place to say, man, it's time to freshen up the place. It's time to rent it. People like to walk in here and say, wow, look what they did with this place now. Look what they did. Be ahead of that curve. Be ahead of, don't wait for it's time to give it a new look. So we renovate, remodel regularly. And that applies to our menu. There's some core items that say we'll never change, we'll always be on. But we evolve. You know, we evolve with what the demand needs us to be. And luckily, we're we're guessing pretty good these days.
What did you know about meatballs when you showed up down at Villegas back in 1979, 80, 81, and about restaurant industry that, I mean, you literally built this from the ground up in a kitchen where somebody let you come in and be the water boy, literally, right?
Correct. What did I know about meatballs? We're talking about meatballs. We're not talking about
anything,
brain surgery.
About, well, just about Italian
you mean
food
the rest
or,
of, well, the as far as the restaurant, that's the beauty of this. For us, as far as the restaurant food, it's I come from a restaurant family. My mom and dad was a, my mom was the greatest cook that ever walked this planet. She was fantastic. Plus, we were fortunate enough, as I said, growing up in Hollandtown and Little Italy, we were surrounded with some very talented people. We were just fortunate enough to be in the right place in the right time for enough time to have learned a lot. And you know what,
what's
Nestor?
In that?
But Nestor, you know what the deal is.
Italian crack is what's in that. What's in that?
You know how it is, how just about anybody else does it. You figure it out. You know, you just have the will, the determination. What the hell did he know about brewing beer before he got into it? It's about the determination.
He knew Molson Golden was good, right?
Yeah, of course he did.
Now, how do you guys know? So from a community standpoint, were you a customer here? Were you an Eldersburg guy? I mean, you were a builder, right, so, by trade,
yeah,
right?
So here's the crazy thing. Sandy and I, growing up in Essex, moving to Westminster 28 years ago, we always gravitated east and south. Eldersburg, for 26 years, 25 years of that 28, was a foreign country to us. we're not more than 11 minutes away from each other, but it felt like
it just wasn't your route.
It wasn't our route. We went the other way. And
did you ever go to Essex, being from Dundalk?
Essex what?
Like the yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to ride my bike to Cox's Point, go fishing.
Okay, yeah. All right.
He tries
some
to go off the rocky
that
point.
Way.
They don't let him in.
I had a conversation the other day with somebody from Dundalk and said, you know, they never go to Essex. It's just not, they just don't go that way. You know what I mean?
That's literally. Right.
I said Essex is the gateway to Dundalk.
There you go.
You know.
Thank God for that. There's a big plant. You see it right there, right? You and I, you grew up in the shadows.
Remember,
of the
we used to argue about whose plant it was.
It's yours, bro.
It was
it
was called the Essex Water Treatment Plant.
It's yours.
But it's in Dundalk. It's across the bridge.
Hold on here. We've been here 5 minutes. I don't even know these guys, know each other. You're already giving each other Dundalk Essex-ish, right? I mean, it's already the Dundalk Essex things already come in.
It's not too many people who want to claim that piece of property.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's on the East Point Mall side of town. It's yours.
But you come into you were not established in Eldersburg in 1988.
Not at all.
You become a part of the establishment here, being your 3.5 decades, right?
Here's the Dante touched on it earlier when we opened in Eldersburg. This community just embraced us, and so I've gotten to know his brother Pino over the last 6 years or so. Dante and I have only known each other now for about 2 years. And in that time,
painful 2 years.
I can honestly say to the camera, to the world, I'll let you cut it out later. He is like a brother to me in that short amount of time. We've traveled together painfully. We've played a lot of golf together. We enjoy each other's company. We learn these things as you're learning today.
Well, I didn't know you knew each other. I met you 2 months ago.
We literally learned these things about each other, about Essex, about Dundalk.
Our wives.
In casual conversation.
Agreed.
So I it probably more embarrassed myself than him the other day. I walked up to his son and said, there's a chance I'm your dad. Just so you know.
Because after all, he was handsome and literate. I'm out.
And from East Baltimore, man, no doubt. All right, I'm eating meatballs. I knew there would be an added benefit to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by our friends at Window Nation. I'm going to wear the hat. You're going to get back and brew beer, right?
Yeah, done.
Give everybody the story at 1623 about things happening because COVID screwed all sorts of things up. September, October, November. You have some normalcy for football season, weekends, hay rides, whatever the hell you're doing, weddings, whatever you're doing back there, right?
Every Wednesday we do music bingo. We do trivia. Tomorrow night, Thursday, music bingo. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we always have music. Two bands on Saturdays. We stop as soon as the Ravens start. No music on Sundays, and it's a great place to come watch the Ravens.
Can we get Vince Bagley to call the game?
God,
no.
You know what? Let me tell you. AI.
You want to do some?
I know I have a tape of Bill O'Donnell and Vince doing a Colts game back in 1968, and what a hearing those voices is phenomenal.
He was a prince.
C O L.
he was.
Did you go to Colts games?
I did.
Did you go to Colts games?
Yes.
I went to Colts games.
So I can never remember my section number, but it was right. It was the section below where.
Well, 41-1 were behind home plate.
We were right hand side. We were
first base side.
First base
then
side.
You were 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. So I apologize for not remembering.
No, you were 40, 39, 38, 37.
I want to say we were in 36. So we would sit there.
Right.
We would get on a bus from the Midway Cafe on Eastern Avenue, and we'd ride the Midway Cafe bus. I was the only kid on the bus. Mm-hmm. All these dads, and I got to really meet the dads when you meet them in the morning and you meet them in the afternoon after a Colts game, which the Colts games were at 2 o'clock then.
Daddy, his personality changed a little bit.
Dad, he's different than I remember.
Why?
I was at the you know, everybody, you know.
There was always Gaddison in your neighborhood, right? I mean, yep. Gaddis's was, I mean, well, the most famous Colt bar in East Baltimore. Dante could have walked 4 blocks, right?
That was very close. 2 blocks.
It was 2 right blocks.
Yeah, North Park Road.
We were at the Ghost of the Post game. That's,
at the Ghost of the Post game.
I remember sitting around. I cried the night that Burt Jones got tackled out of bounds against the Detroit Lions in preseason, knowing I had a feeling this was the end of the Colts as I know.
Do you want to cry even more? I went to the Taste of the
Burt
NFL.
Burt Jones, number 7.
Yep.
About 15 years ago, I went to Taste of the NFL because I went a lot of those years. A great cooking event, Feeding Hunger, the NFL puts on night before the Super Bowl. And every table has the Buffalo Bills have Joe DeLamalier. You know, the Ravens have Matt Stover. There's a celebrity. Al Bubba Baker was the celebrity for the Browns or whatever that night. And I went over and I asked him about it on film. And he told me he intended to hurt Burt Jones. He meant to do it.
Oh, geez.
He's happy he did it. It was like one of the most mean.
And that nice.
You know, I'm 45 years old at the time. I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, I've been wondering about that since 1978 and Bill Troop and Mike Kirkland took over, right? Mike Pagel after that.
My 17th birthday is March 29th, 1984. I wake up to find out the Colts are gone.
Dude, really?
Yep. Crushing. Crushing.
He and I were Dundalk High School that day. I was writing for the Dundalk Owl, going around crushing. To Dante saying, what do you think of the Colts leaving, you know? All right, Dante Liberatore is here. We're in Eldersburg. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and all of our sponsors at Goodwill. We're reminding everybody that they're putting people to work and jobs programs. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery, I have my let myself play. Sports wagering online now. We got a Raven scratch-off we're going to be getting out. We're going to be in Westminster Rock Salt Grill on Friday. We're going to be at Costas in our homeland of Dundalk eating the hometown crab cake, Westmore. We're going to be joined by a Baltimore Banner reporter, Pam Wood, talking about all the elections, as well as Mickey Coachella, who has promised to not work blue. Dante and I are going to go through it with the family business, Eldersburg, crab cakes, what makes a great Italian bistro and restaurant. We're out here on 26. Used to be 2 stoplights. There's a lot of people out here in Carroll County. Mike, I appreciate the beer, man.
Absolutely, thank
get
you.
Get on out to any of the Liberatore's locations, Liquid Libs. You can find Nick up at the new Libs Grill up in Bel Air. And a shout-out to Tony De La Rose as well. I thought of you when I was in that location the other day, too. So we got a lot of East Side stories. We got great meatballs, and we're going to have a crab cake. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 on behalf of the Restaurant Association and our friends at Window Nation. We're going to come back, tell you more about Restaurant Week and more local businesses and talking local from September 16th to the 25th from Eldersburg. We're BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.